Welcome back to the Guardian with Joey and Holly Radio Show. Time for your questions, our answers. If you got a question, you can submit it by sending it to us via email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW. We can go to the hotline. We had a call in from Michigan, listening to us on Wham 1600 AM and 92.7 FM out of Ann Arbor. Question about moles, voles. We'll see what that is, and we'll see if we can help.
Great show. This is Ilona from Highland, Michigan. My question is, we have a lot of voles and moles. I'm assuming they're one or the other. They're making the little trails in the grass. We have a lot of bare spots in the grass as well, so I'm assuming we have grubs. Now, I applied last month grub-free zone 3. It's by High Yield to get rid of the grubs, but I know timing is everything. I'm not sure how to take care of it, if this is going to be a one-time thing, because on the bag it says apply once a year. But the voles are like out of control. I also use the worms. The poison worms, which helps, but I don't know what to do to get rid of it in the grass. Often, thank you very much, guys.
So, Holly, can we help her with that?
We sure can. So, our biggest thing is to definitely get rid of the grubs,
and which then will decrease the moles and voles.
Yeah, because moles and voles definitely love to eat grubs. I mean, they'll eat worms and stuff like that, but the grubs is like their main dish.
Go-to.
Yeah. So, what we suggested is, and not just because they're a sponsor, but because it works for the older grubs as well, not just the larvae, is to use Phylum Bioproducts Grub Gone. That's at Phylum, Phyllom, bioproducts.com, and that's the Grub Gone. And, yeah, that's going to help take care of it, and then the grass will start to grow back and not be patchy. And
the moles and voles will go elsewhere.
They'll find someplace else to dine on their dinner.
All right, so we thank you for calling in. If you've got a question, you can do just like she did and give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW. Number of questions come in through the email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Holly, go.
So this is a question for you because you like the rhubarb.
Right.
I have rhubarb seeds. Is it too late to plant them now?
Typically, you want to start your rhubarb if you're going to do from seed, which we have about 10 weeks before your last average frost date. However, go ahead and start them now. You can put them in the ground. Once you get them a sizable plant, then you can transplant them. So there's nothing wrong. Go ahead and put them, start them now. From zones 2 through 8, if you're in zone 9, 10, 11, any of that area, rhubarb is not going to grow for you. Too warm. Next question, Holly. I'm in zone 4 hoping that there is are edibles that I can start indoors at this late date. Any suggestions? Thank you for your wisdom.
At this point, in mid-May, no. Mid to end of mid-May, not really. But you can buy starts. Otherwise,
you can start them outdoors, Holly. I mean, she can start tomatoes now and put them in the ground. And then from the time you put them in the ground, I assume a she, that you can start them and put them in the ground. At that point, they're in the ground. That's when the maturity day starts.
Right, but you can direct sow them,
right,
too. Yeah, that's not a problem.
I mean, you can start cucumbers two weeks before your last average frost date. But at this point, just go ahead and direct sow by starts. And Holly, you, and we've told this story before, as a child, it was never plant starts. It was four tomato seeds went in the ground Memorial Day weekend, and then they developed fruit and grew, and you had tomatoes by Labor Day.
August. Yeah.
September, October, August, September.
I didn't say September. I said August.
Well, that one, if you did it right, you would still have tomatoes in September.
Yeah.
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 Okay, next question. For 2 years now, I have bought chive seeds and bunching onions from different vendors. They will not germinate. I plant them, wait 4 weeks, try more seeds. I use a potting soil mix, and nothing comes up. I have planted along other plants such as flowers, peppers, squash, tomatoes, and they do fine. Why is my chives and bunching onions not growing? Thank you for any suggestions you can give us.
So we think it's the seeds. It sounds like she has everything else right, the soil, the lights, all of that, moisture levels. Onion seeds do lose germination after a year.
Now, there are some times when you go and buy seeds at a seed company, it will say low germination rate. Like, you know, a normal germination rate, like 90%, 64% germination rate or 50% germination rate. They warn you on the package. And I don't know if that's the case or not. If she's buying new seeds from vendors new each year, there's got to be some core. There's a puzzle
there's
piece
gotta be
missing
something,
here.
Yeah, there's got to. I'm assuming it. I don't want to say this, but maybe it's something in the soil.
That directly affects the onion.
And people do reuse their seed starting soil year after year.
Well,
it's possible
based on the. I mean, if everything else is growing and it's not the onions, I mean,
it's got to be the soil. I think
that's reacting to those onions and
or too high level of a moisture.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we helped. Maybe we didn't. So take that for what it's worth. All right, what's the next one?
So David said he listens to the show via podcast out of Maine and wants to know what books would you recommend on square foot gardening.
Well, hello, David. Thank you for tuning in via podcast way up there in the northern in Maine and the north portions of the country. We would recommend the Mel Bartholomew. I think that's how you say it.
Mel Bartholomew.
There you go.
The square foot gardening book.
Yeah, he's passed now, but it is a phenomenal book that illustrates how you can grow multiple things in one square foot patches. So All New Square Foot Gardening by Mel Bartholomew.
Okay, so next question is, what temperature will shock a tomato plant? I heard that it's too cold. It can shock them.
Well, anything below 50 is really a safe number. If you can keep things above 50 degrees soil temperature now, and if the soil temperature is 50 degrees or above, the ambient temperature is going to be most likely 50 degrees or above. Now, tomatoes will survive down to 33 degrees. However, we don't want to try to put them in that position. So, you know, if you get to your 40s to 45s and you have the plant in the ground or in a container or you're trying to harden them off, it's going to put them, it's going to, you know, they're going to not be happy. So don't do it. Next question is Stacy from North Suburbs. Yeah, I blurred a vision here. I'm fine. Illinois here, my home state. I said Illinois, not Illinois. Some people carry that S. They don't need to. I love your show. I have learned so much, and I decided to grow San Marzano tomatoes this year, but didn't realize until I got the package of seeds that they are a semi-determinate variety. I am a new gardener and only grew one indeterminate tomato variety last year, which I tried to prune a single stem to keep it from bushing out too much. Should I do the same with the San Marzano's semi-determinate variety, or will pruning them lessen the harvest? Any tips would be appreciated. What would we suggest for them, Holly? For her, Holly.
So I would suggest.
Well, first of all, explain what a determinate indeterminate briefly here, semi determinate is.
Sure. So what will happen? So indeterminate tomato is like a vine tomato, continues to grow and produce tomatoes until frost or until you rip it out of the ground. Determinate is like a bush variety. It's going to put on one main fruiting. That's pretty much it. And then semi-determinate is going to put on one main fruiting and then at some point going to continue two fruits until
on a slower rate.
Yeah. So it's kind of a happy medium. So San Marzano tomatoes are actually typically not as high producing as other tomatoes because it technically is an heirloom variety.
And it depends on where you're growing them as well.
Yeah.
Coastal.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would not prune them. You can prune them, but typically for something like a bush tomato, you don't typically prune
them. Because
you're
going to really inhibit the amount of production that plant puts out.
Because it's in the thought of pruning versus not pruning, it's more going to be of the bush thought mindset versus the vine.
Every limb you cut off, you're losing the potential of six or eight tomato, or well, you know, four or five tomatoes that you're selecting to remove because you're wanting that single stem. We have found San Marzanos do well here at our studio because we are very close to Lake Michigan. However, at the Big Garden, where you would predominantly see most of our video productions take place, which is about, 15 miles from the...
It's about, I would say, 15 miles southwest.
Of the lake.
Oh, yeah. So, that is about 9 miles.
Much more inland. Half mile versus 9 miles. And the San Marzanos do not do well there at all because it doesn't have that that coastal feel with the humidity in the air. They just seem to like that in our experience.
Right. So since we live here close to the lake, it does have a different climate. And everybody who lives near Lake Michigan or any large body of water
pretty knows, in the summer, cold in the winter.
knows that there is that lake coolness. And I like it. I love living by the lake, but not everybody does. So
for more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.